Good morning. Today is Transfiguration Sunday. We go up the mountain where Jesus and Moses and Elijah met, and we hear the voice of God. And the question raised today is, why the Transfiguration? Why did this event have to happen? I have a few ideas I'd like to share with you this morning. Transfiguration Sunday marks the end of the season of Epiphany, the time in which Jesus walked and talked and taught and performed his miracles here on earth. At the end of this season, we enter into a season called Lent, and we mark that come Wednesday with Ash Wednesday service, where we hear about a preparation to going to the cross and through the empty tomb. And we mark it with the Ash Wednesday service, where we will place ashes on your head, making the sign of a cross as and a start of a pilgrimage from Ash Wednesday to Good Friday, and then ultimately to the resurrection of Jesus on Easter, in the middle part of April. I invite you, encourage you to come and be a part of that service and to make it a journey, to make it a journey for us as we set our eyes upon Jesus. In the Gospels, we hear of Jesus doing that very thing, setting his eyes upon Jerusalem and ultimately going to Jerusalem to fulfill the mission that God had for him. And so Wednesday at 6:30. Come March, is our practice here to collect non-perishable food items and then to donate it to the Quad City food shelf. And so through the month of March, we will have a big box out in the back entryway, and we encourage you to bring food items, non-perishable food items. So chickens and all that you can keep at home, or unless it's canned, I guess. Please bring it and to share with others who do not have the resources for the things that we do enjoy. So March is Food Shelf Month. Let's stand and read responsively our call to worship as we gather in the name of Jesus. Mighty ruler, lover of justice, great king, enthroned one, you are exalted over all people. We worship at your holy mountain. Let's turn in our hymn books to number 317 and to sing together that wonderful song about our Savior, beautiful Savior, 317.
Thank you.
Let's play it again. We've got two more verses to go. Thank you for sending us your Son, the Son of God, the Son of Man. To you, O God, may there be glory and honor, praise and adoration, now, even on this day and forevermore. You are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our lives, for you are the Creator, the King of creation. You are the one who has loved us, continues to love us, and draws us even deeper into your love, that until we truly love you as we are loved. In this hour, O Lord, may we see your glory. May we understand why you came to this planet. Thank you for what you are planning to do in this hour. Reveal yourself. In your name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Let's hear about God's glory as God manifests himself at different times within Scripture. Mary.
Our first reading this morning is taken from Exodus chapter 34, beginning in verse 29 and going through verse 35. And Moses has just come down from the mountain a second time after having come down earlier and found the Israelites having built a golden calf, and he broke the tablets with God's direction. So God gave him a second chance to get those. So he's just come down. And here we read. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near. But Moses called to them, and so Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. Afterward, all the Israelites came near, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. And our second reading is from 2 Corinthians, the third chapter beginning in verse 12, and that's on page 880 of your pew Bible. And Paul is again referring to this incident with Moses. There we go. Okay, so 2 Corinthians 3:12. Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit.
Amen. God reveals himself in many and in different ways. Psalm 19, where in that psalm talks about the wonder and the beauty of God's word. Not only the word that we have before us, the written word, but the heavens declare the glory of God. God is there up there in the stars revealing himself. And yet God is also one who comes to this planet and reveals himself. And there is another dimension that we do not know anything about, that we will be transferred when we die, I think, and we enter into the heavenly realms. And it's that realm that was revealed to Moses. And then through Jesus and Moses and Elijah, there was a little bit of heaven that touched here on that was revealed here on heaven. Oh, might we be able to proclaim that to others and to share. And to not only proclaim it in word, but through our own experience, to be transformed from glory to glory into the very image of Jesus. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? Let's be thankful today and offer our lives and offer our gifts to the Lord as we receive your tithes and gifts this morning. Ushers, please come forward. Heavenly Father, thank you for your glory revealed to us. Thank you that you have not left us alone, but that you guide and direct us through your Holy Spirit. And we are here today grateful for what you have done and what you continue to do as we journey through this life and one day with the hope of being in your wonderful, enlightened presence. Bless these gifts, O Lord, we pray. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing together the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. You may be seated. If you have been on Facebook for the last week, you probably have gotten at least a small number of requests to be praying for our brothers and sisters in Ukraine. And we want to do that this morning. Not only for those living and seeking to escape the war zone, but also the ministries that are there. Through the covenant, there is a Christian radio station, CRFR, Christian Radio for Russia, and they are stationed in Medusa, Ukraine. They have had to flee. And they are broadcasting remotely these days, and we pray for safety for them and pray for safety for all, and that this conflict, this war, will end soon. And pray for the wisdom of those who are making the decisions in the next a number of days. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you as those who have put their trust in you, who have found a Savior, who have found a Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your provision for your people, as well as the people of this world. For you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And in many places, O Lord, there is conflict. Conflict in the world, but conflict with you, O Lord, for people's eyes and hearts are not open to your reign and to your rule. And so we begin to pray that your rule will happen and that your will would be done as it is already being done in heaven. We pray for the folks in the Ukraine, and for all of the countries surrounding Ukraine. We pray for your safety as families are seeking refuge. We are praying for those folks who have decided to stay and to fight their adversary. Father, we pray that you will give these folks your wisdom and your strength to do what needs to be done. Lord, we pray for peace. We pray for wholeness. We pray for wisdom for the leaders who are making the decisions that are bringing about this conflict, this war. Father, we pray that your will would be done, not only here, not only in Ukraine, but also in Russia. We don't totally understand all the dynamics of what is going on and why there is this war. You know, O Lord, And we pray that you will change the hearts and lives and in the minds of those who are bringing about this war. Father, we continue to pray. We continue to pray and thank you for opportunities that we have to pray for the radio station such as CRFR. And the work that they have done, and Dan Johnson, who is the radio manager, Lord, we pray for your wisdom for him as to what needs to be done in order to stay on the air and to minister to hearts and lives across that continent, not only in Russia but in Russian-speaking countries. Lord, many people have come to know you as Lord and Savior because of this ministry. And many more are being fed your word on a daily basis. May their ministry not be thwarted at all, but may they continue to broadcast through the airwaves as well as the internet your word and the power of your name amongst all names. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We thank you for opportunities to serve you and for to go on mission trips. And Lord, we thank you for the Johnstons, and as they have returned, we pray, Lord, that you would bless them as they seek to sort out their experience and be able to share what they have experienced, and may they be able to express your love that they experienced as they sought to serve you and the people in Mexico. Father, we thank you for saving us. We thank you for how you have revealed yourself to us, not only through scriptures, not only through what you have created, but also in our hearts, that your spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are your children. Thank you for that affirmation, for that peace that there is within us. May we live into that peace. May we live into that relationship that you have called us into, and that we may be able to grow from glory to glory until we are at one with you. Thank you, Lord. It is in your name that we pray. Amen and amen. May Jesus shine throughout the world, and may we catch the blaze ourselves. Let's turn in our hymn books to number 195. 195. And I think we don't have an introduction, is what I'm understanding. So as soon as the song begins, let's begin with it. And let's see if we end the same time. Shine, Jesus, shine.
Of your darkness shining, light of Jesus of the world, shine upon us, set us free by the truth you now bring us. Shine on me, shine on me, shine, Jesus, shine. Grace and mercy, send forth your word. shadows into your radiant light, that I may enter your brightness. Shine me, try me, consume my darkness. Shine on me. Shine. Blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow, flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. As we gaze on your kingly brightness, so our faces display your likeness. Father's glory, blaze, Spirit, blaze, set our hearts on fire.
Hopefully you caught the words to it. And we'll welcome Judy next week back. Thank you for playing the organ there, Bob. Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Jesus is predicting his death, and then telling his disciples that they themselves have to pick up their cross, to deny themselves, take up their cross in order to follow him. And then he seals that, I think, with what happens next. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up unto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. And they spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. And while he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this with to themselves and did not tell anyone at that time what they had seen. I read a story recently about a terrible fire in a chemical plant. Several area fire departments responded to the blaze, and the whole community gathered at a distance to watch. The media was there in helicopters and satellite remote trucks. The president of the company was among the crowd, and he was frantic. He gathered together the chiefs of all of the fire departments and explained to them in the midst of the fire was a safe that contained all the company's super sensitive documents, including the top secret formulas of all their best-selling products. He pledged to give $500,000 to the fire department that brought the blaze under control and saved all the super sensitive documents in the safe. The chiefs rallied their firefighters and pulled out all the stops, attempting to bring the blaze under control, but it wasn't happening. The fire continued to rage. And after quite some time, the crowd heard another siren in the distance that kept growing louder. Before long, an old, beat-up, dilapidated 1930-style fire engine filled with a bunch of men in their 60s and 70s came roaring through the crowd, right past all of the other fire departments. The truck didn't even slow down as it burst through the front door of the plant and right into the middle of the blazing inferno. Everyone, firefighters, media members, and the crowd just gasped, thinking about what these guys just did. However, before long, the fire was under control, and this group of aged firefighters stumbled out of the front of the plant coughing. Everyone cheered for their heroic efforts, and they saved the safe. A few hours later, in front of the gutted plant, the president of the company handed the 82-year-old chief a check for $500,000. In the press conference that followed, one reporter asked the chief what they planned to do with the incredible reward. And he didn't even hesitate. "These guys already told me that they want to buy a new fire engine with some brakes." There's two reasons why I'm telling you this story this morning. First, it's funny. Second, there's usually two levels to every story. One level is the level of the what. What are the facts of the story? This level tells us what happened. But the second level is the why level. Why did this event happen? To understand the story of the Transfiguration, we must get to the why level. Why did the Transfiguration happen? The Transfiguration happened to reveal the unique nature of Jesus Christ. And as we review the events of the scripture today, we can discover that Jesus was unique in his person, in his mission, and in his message. The historian Luke records for us that Jesus took Peter, James, and John to the mountain to pray. The mountain carries great significance in the biblical tradition. At God's command, Abraham took his son Isaac up on Mount Horeb to offer him as a sacrifice. Moses encountered God on the mountain and answered the call to lead the Hebrew slaves out of Egypt. And this very scene causes us to remember when Moses came back down Mount Sinai, the mountain of God, carrying the Ten Commandments. And in Exodus 34, we are told that Moses glowed, because he had spoken, he had been with the Lord face to face. Moses brought a glimpse of God's glory back down the mountain with him. And Elijah too, remember, had his greatest victory in life on Mount Carmel. as he called fire down from the sky and consumed the 600 priests of Baal. So it was to the mountain that Jesus took his disciples, and there on the mountain they experienced a glimpse of the glory of God. The mountain, God's glory, have a history in the Hebrew tradition. This unique moment recalls the Shekinah, the glory of God in the Old Testament, the glory of God's presence. It was the glory of God's presence on Mount Sinai in the Old Testament days of Moses that led the Hebrews in a cloud by day and a fire by night. It was the glory of God's presence that filled the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle during the nations of Israel's wilderness wanderings, and that would also fill the temple built by Solomon in the latter years. In their later history. This moment was a brief moment in time when three seemingly hapless disciples had an opportunity to glimpse the divine nature shining through Jesus Christ. They got to glimpse behind the veil of eternity, and they literally saw the brilliance of God's glory in human form, and they were amazed. So amazed, in fact, that Peter wants to build some shrines for all three men in the vision. But before Jesus can respond, the cloud of God's presence overshadows the scene and speaks to reveal the unique person that Jesus was. This is my son, my chosen one. The voice confirmed the message spoken at Jesus' baptism at the beginning of his ministry. But here, the voice from the cloud adds, "My chosen one," to pronounce his son. His chosen one is the Messiah whom the nation of Israel had long awaited. This pronouncement highlights the fact that Jesus is God's chosen person to bring salvation to his people. He was God coming down to humanity in the flesh. It was after this encounter that the mountain that the Apostle John would call Jesus, the Word became flesh. And Peter, who was here on the mountain, would write in his second letter, "For we were not making up clever stories when we told you about the power of our Lord Jesus Christ and his coming again. We have seen his majestic splendor with our own eyes, and he received glory and honor from God the Father when God's glorious, majestic voice called down from heaven, 'This is my beloved Son.' We ourselves heard the voice when we were with him on the holy mountain. This testify, and they testified to Jesus as the Messiah." And the person of Jesus Christ is still unique today. He is still Messiah. He is still the one sent from God to save us from our sins. He is still God who loves us and calls us to himself. And he stands apart from every other religious leader ever in history. Even Moses and Elijah, whose presence in this scene could well represent the law and the prophets, could not fully reveal the true nature of God. The law given through Moses could only point people to God. And Elijah and the other prophets could only tell people of God's great expectations were. But Jesus could show us God himself, could allow us to touch God and be touched by God. The law and the prophets were only partial revelations of God. But here on the mountain, God was revealing himself fully and finally through his Son, Jesus. Someone once said, Jesus is God spelling himself out in a language that one can understand. Jesus was unique, as no person has ever been or has ever been since. Jesus was also unique in his mission. Of the gospel writers who record the transfiguration, only Luke tells us that the course of the conversation that Jesus had with Moses and Elijah. Luke tells us they were speaking of how he was about to fulfill God's plan by dying at Jerusalem. In the King James Version says they were speaking of his departure. In the Greek, the word is Exodus, which is familiar to us from the Old Testament. The Exodus tells us the story of the Hebrew journey from slavery to the promised land in Canaan. So Jesus was on a journey to the cross. The cross was the place where God's wrath and judgment would pour out upon Jesus to pay the penalty for the sins of humanity. That was his mission, through the cross to redeem each and every one of us to the God of creation. Jesus had only 8 days earlier, if you follow Luke's account, told his disciples that he would suffer and die. Jesus' mission is unlike any other mission or purpose of religion. Religion has been defined as one's attempt to reach up to God. But Christianity is defined as God's attempt to reach down to humanity. Christianity is not a religion. It is a person, the person Jesus Christ. And Jesus, fulfilling his unique mission, beckons us to the cross to find forgiveness and reconciliation. But Jesus' journey did not end at the cross, for on the third day he arose and gained the victory over death, hell, and the grave. And he sits enthroned with the Father in heaven, and he will one day come again with the same glory that clothed him on the mountain that day. For his mission is unique, unlike any other in the history of time. And his departure was just another leg of the journey that we wait to be complete. Then there was the unique message on the mountain, the voice which said, "This is my son, my chosen one," also said, "Listen to him." Here God the Father marks out the responsibility of the disciples. Hear what Jesus has to say. Now, this was a revolutionary message for these three disciples, and it would be a revolutionary message for the gospel readers of Luke as well. Revolutionary in what sense? Put the words against the backdrop of the event. Who appears with Jesus? Moses and Elijah. The message was clear. You have heard the law, and you have heard the prophets. Now listen to my son. As great as the law and the prophets were, they were now secondary to the fullest revelation of God in his son Jesus. That was revolutionary in the first century Judaism. But what was the message Jesus spoke? It had just been spoken a few days earlier. It was, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must put aside selfish ambition, shoulder your cross daily, and follow me." Jesus came to show the way to God. Was through self-denial and self-sacrifice. He came to show the way to God and was the way of the cross. Jesus came to show that there is a great redemption in suffering. Self-sacrifice and self-denial are not the only things a disciple is to hear. We need always to be reminded of love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. A disciple also needs to hear, come to me who are weary, and I will give you rest. A disciple needs to hear, come you hungry and eat the bread of life. A disciple needs to hear, come you thirsty and drink from the spring of living water. A disciple needs to hear, come you sinner and find forgiveness. These are the unique messages of Jesus Christ. And the unique responsibility of a disciple is to listen to him. The irony of the transfiguration is that as revolutionary as Jesus was in the first century, he is just as revolutionary today. In an age of religious pluralism and multiculturalism, to claim the unique nature of Jesus as God's chosen one is open oneself to charges of intolerance. We have done in our culture exactly what Peter attempted to do on the mountain that day. He wanted to build shrines, build for Moses and Elijah and Jesus. He would put Jesus on the same level as Moses and Elijah. But the voice from heaven would have none of that. We want to construct shrines to all the founders of the world's religions and place all the world's religions on equal footing with each other. But Jesus does not ask for a shrine alongside the others. The transfiguration reminds us that Jesus transcends all cultures and is called to minister to all humanity as God's chosen servant. Jesus is the multicultural icon for every generation, and his call is an equal opportunity call. If the greatest need of humanity has been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent an entertainer. But our greatest need was forgiveness, and so God sent a Savior. The world needs a Savior, not just another religious example. The transfiguration is God's declaration that just such a unique person exists. Jesus, who is the Christ, not Jesus among others. We know what happened at the transfiguration, and I pray now we will always know why it has happened. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your holy presence in our midst. And we thank you for the opportunity to see you for who you truly are, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Messiah. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for how you reveal yourself and how you revealed yourself on that mountain one day for your disciples, Peter, James, and John, and how they were able to capture a glimpse of your glory, the glory that is now you who now reigns from heaven. You left that glory behind in order to be what you were while on this planet. But we captured a glimpse of what is yet to come when you will return in all of your glory, riding on a white horse. May this truly, O Lord, be for us a lesson, knowing that that you, Jesus, is one who is not just another religious leader, is not one who calls us to follow your teachings even, but one who has come in his glory and invites us to be transformed from glory to glory until we are in the very likeness of you, Lord Jesus. Wow. Thank you, Lord, for the journey that you have each and every one of us on, that we might indeed be at home with you. Walk with us this week, O Lord. Open our eyes and our ears into the cloud that where you dwell. May we listen with the ears of our heart and our mind, that indeed we might come to know and to love you as we are known and loved by you. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Let's turn in our hymn books to number 210. 210 summarizes where we have been for the last 20 minutes or so. 'Tis good, Lord, to be here. 've been to the mountain, have we not, to meet God, to meet Jesus in his glory. What we have experienced today is our destiny as followers of Jesus. Jesus did not come only to pay the price, for our sins. But Jesus paid the price in order that we might be brought back into a relationship with the Lord. Not only did Jesus redeem, he also reconciled us so that the very core of who we are as persons, as people of God, goes from glory to glory until we are fully recreated into the very image of Jesus Christ. As you go from this place, may we be mindful, may we ponder this wonderful relationship that we have with God. And so like Moses, who went to the tent of meeting or who went to the mountaintop to meet God, he was transformed. as we meet with God this week, may we desire for that same transformation of our heart and life, so that one day, whether it is here on this planet or here in heaven, that we will shine as Jesus shines today. Let's stand and to sing together our doxology, or our blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious, gracious, gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give